Breakfast. Previously with Darren Moore.
8:39. Good, bad, and the ugly with Terrence Pillay this morning. Good morning, Terrence.
Morning, Darren.
What is your boggle today?
I'll tell you what, Darren. It's a very, very serious story. You know, parents often just drop off their teenage kids at shopping malls, movies, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for the large part, these kids do hang out at malls and go to the movies like they say they are. But I met a 15-year-old girl called Melissa who says that a lot of these kids are actually in clubs.
Really?
Doing drugs, partying the night away, and then arrive at a spot, their parents come and pick them up again, they go home none the wiser. She's 15 years old, got sucked into the, started with smoking marijuana with her friends while hanging out, got sucked into this whole drug and underage club culture in Durban, and it was just a downward spiral for her.
What would happen? Where would you take these drugs? At home? In a club?
Well, you can take them in a club. Some people smoke weed in a club and they pop pills in clubs. They snort lines of coke in clubs because it's easy. It's just one go and you're done.
So all this drug taking and everything that's happening at a club, you go on partying at this club?
Yeah.
Do you think club owners and management know this is happening?
They definitely do. The cops, they get money from it. All the clubs pay the cops. Don't come do a drug bust here at this time. Don't do this, don't do that.
Mm.
And that's why most kids get into clubs now, because there's no bus and cops aren't coming in and, you know, checking for ID anymore like they used to.
So I want to talk to you about that. I mean, all this time that you were taking drugs, you were a kid getting into a club. How was that even possible?
See, I was friends with the bouncer at and he was the bouncer at as well. Because was very strict. They are. Most of the time I used my sister's drivers to get into and then they started being clever and they were like, this isn't you.
And so were the other kids getting in there as well? Mm. All doing drugs?
To be honest, the youngest is 14, I would say. 14, 15.
Really?
It's a 14-year-old girl in a club.
And is this like common knowledge? People know this?
Yeah, people know it and they just... It's happening and it's out there. So they're going to go and try their luck, you know?
And so... In this whole time that you were taking drugs, what was your relationship like with your family?
It was hard. We were fighting a lot. Was having accidents in cars and drinking and driving and all those small things just like piled on top of each other. And it just, I couldn't get it off my shoulders. And the family was battling to get it off their shoulders as well. So that was also one of the reasons why I ran away.
So the thing is, when your mom got you back home, they had set up a sting and they had arranged to get drugs from you. How did that work?
We went out one night and this guy phoned me on my phone to say, can I make a plan for him to get some coke? And I said, I'll point you out to a dealer and then you can go do whatever you need to do. And then from there, my mom had brought the cops and I got arrested.
Well, obviously, the voice has been disguised there, and we beeped out, obviously, the venues and the addresses and the names of other people involved.
Look, we had to alter her voice because the drug dealers...
It was a young girl,
15 years old. We had to alter her voice because the drug dealers still know where she lives. They know her number. They know her voice. She's only been out of rehab 8 weeks. It's been 8 weeks, so it's still
very brave of her to step forward and chat to you.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, she says there are 14-year-olds in a club. She's been clubbing with 14-year-olds. How does a 14-year-old even get into a club? What kind of checks are at the door? I mean, when this young girl came to studio to be interviewed, she looks like a 15-year-old girl. So
there's no way you could mistake.
There is absolutely no way you could mistake that this was a child. And there are other teenagers also partying. Now, what happened with her was she ran away from home. She met a 15-year-old boy in this club, moved into his house, and her mom had to arrange a sting, call her and pretend that she wanted to buy drugs from her.
Oh, what?
And then when she pointed out the dealer in the club and that kind of thing. The police swooped in and then nabbed the skull, and that's how they retrieved her.
Wow.
They extracted her from the situation. It's pretty hectic. So coming up, I speak to Colonel Jay Nyker from SAPS about this issue. You know, the fact of the matter is Melissa alleges that, I mean, it's quite a hectic allegation.
Yes.
That the cops are in collusion with club management.
That they know about this and
the
do
raids,
nothing. Yeah.
And that's why you can't bust them.
Yeah.
So I put these allegations to Colonel Jay Nyker, the spokesman for SAPS. Jay, how big a problem are drugs in clubs in Durban?
Well, you know, it'll be very hard to give you an extent of it, but look, with our youth, it's surprising how they manage to find drugs. You know, you would find a youngster is in a strange area, but somehow he finds a drug dealer if he's looking for drugs in that area. So likewise, I'm quite certain that, you know, when they go to clubs, they somehow find out who's the dealers, because obviously these dealers are hanging out in the clubs knowing that, you know, people will approach them. We have had operations where we've arrested people in clubs, but, you know, there again, we need the cooperation of the owners of the club, because...
Let me address that point. I mean, these are our youth. Is that not illegal for them to be in these clubs in the first place?
Well, they're definitely... when I'm talking about youth, I'm also talking about, you know, kids over 18, because they're still very young.
Now, the case study that I'm working with, you know, she was 15 years old when she got immersed into this whole drug club culture and got into clubs, met dealers and bought drugs for them in the clubs. And she alleges that, you know, there's collusion between club owners and police. So they know when clubs are being raided. Is there any truth to this?
As far as for me to say, I can't see how it happens, because police management, I mean, we're totally against any sort of illegal activities. We want condone any of our police members being involved in such activities. And if it's brought to attention of management, obviously we will act on it. But to make a blanket statement that, you know, without any evidence, it will be very hard for us to investigate that. You know, if the management of a club, as I said, he wants his club to be raided because he suspects that people in the club that could be dealing in drugs or any other illegal substance, he should approach the station commander at that level, you know, directly with the station commander, and an operation can be planned at a very high level so that, you know, the information does not leak out.
And how often does SAPS conduct raids on clubs?
Look, it wouldn't be very easy for me to tell you, because remember, we've got 185 police precincts, and each one of them operate independently. Then we have, you know, specialized units like the organized crime unit. We have a specialized team under the Durban Flying Squad Narcotics Team. They also conduct similar raids. Their raids are very successful, because generally those raids come from members of the community that give suppliers with information. They will then go out and conduct observation and other investigations. And if they suspect that there is something illegal going down, they will immediately act, and they're quite successful in that.
Terence, I have to tell you, a knee-jerk reaction from parents of the community right now would be, well, the parents need to take more responsibility. But hang on a second. When you have a 14 or 15-year-old child, they are, wow, they really do force you to get their own independence. And
yes,
you want that as a parent as well. Now, I'm a parent. My kids say, drop me off at Gateway. So I go, okay, fine, I'm going to pick you up here. At 11:30, right? So you drop the kids off, you come back at 11:30. You don't know. I mean, how do you manage or police what those kids have done for the last 4, 5, 6 hours?
Well, you can't. That's the whole point. You know, that's why these things are happening. So there is an organization that I'll find out more about it. What they do is you can contact them, and they go into malls undercover, and they kind of their officers or their their representatives just sort of like watch your kids from to see that they are where they are from a safe distance.
Hang on, are they reporting back to you?
And they're reporting back to the parent.
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but the fact of the matter is, would you not rather that than your child get embroiled in this whole drug and underage club culture? And I think that's where we need to start, right? Okay, you can't. Teenagers will be teenagers.
Yeah.
You can't say, I'm taking away your freedom. You can't go to the movies. You can't hang out.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
No. And then you also can't stand next to them every minute of every day.
100%.
Either.
So I think We need to raise this dissenting voice. We need to champion for the police to do more when it comes to clubs. Yeah. I mean, how does a 14-year-old get into a club with...
That is a big problem.
It is a huge problem. How are dealers getting drugs into clubs?
Yeah.
So what we as society needs to do is we need to engage with SAPS a lot more. He said about intelligence. Yes, give them intelligence, but we need to light a fire under them that, if they can get rid of dealers in clubs and if they can ensure that underage kids
people are getting into
do not clubs. Get into clubs, do not get access to alcohol or any other substances in clubs. I mean, that's your starting point.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, you don't want to curb your teenager's life to such an extent that he or she just sits at home. I mean, you
but
can't
do that. But it is an unfortunate
that.
Conversation that we need to have with our kids as well to make them aware and know that we know and educate our kids as well. It is a huge problem. And listen, if you want to communicate with Terrence as well, you can email him, terrence@ecr.co.za. That's one R in Terrence. He's on Twitter as well, @TerrencePelay1. Again, one R in Terrence. And it doesn't seem to be a story that we can literally sweep under the rug. This is a big issue.
I must tell you, in speaking to Jay Naika, I've got a meeting with him next week. I know these which clubs they are.
Okay.
I know who the dealers are in these clubs, and we're going to do something about it. So there might be a follow up.
Fabulous. All right. Thank you, Terrence. Darren Moore.
Every morning. Waking up in the morning. East Coast Breakfast. With Darren Moore. Every morning.